Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, here we are. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. Hump day. No, it is Wednesday, and it is a couple of days before the jobs number, before we can hear our great Federal Reserve tell us that, well, we still can't raise rates no matter what the jobs are, because the job number comes out on Friday. And of course, if the number is good, we'll get to see, guess what, Mr. Obama come out and tell us what a great job he's done at bringing jobs to this country and making everybody better. And of course, I don't know about you, but, you know, I see things that are not good if you walk away from most states. If you actually hover in the Midwest, you'll see that maybe things aren't quite as good as they are. And I had some guests in from California talking about some of the problems they're having out there. But yet we continue to want to support the same ideas and idealisms that we have supported all along, when we can see obviously that they don't work. And isn't it a shame that we can't seem to get out of this rat race? You know, we talk about the rat race of working and the rat race of the jobs, but yet nobody gets upset about the rat race of the political scene and the damage that is being done to us, the American people, especially when you look at many of the wealthy, the Mark Cubans of the world and the Michael Bloombergs of the world, who now are fully behind Hillary Clinton. And why are they fully behind Hillary Clinton? Well, I mean, I would think, number one, they're behind her because they feel that they can control her. You know, billionaires have their own agendas, okay? And outwardly, they can appear to be having your best interest at heart, as most politicians do. But underneath the scenes, it's what can we do for them, okay? And how can they scam out more capital, more cash out of the system? You know, they're not so benevolent and so much full of philanthropy saying that they really want to help. They want to help themselves. That's my opinion. Now, I have, you know, personal knowledge of, I'm not going to say which one, but one of these candidates, and, you know, I know some people that are close, and I've seen and watched how their objective is always about the money. Okay, well, they're not worried about your money. They're not worried about my money. If you've watched them and seen some of the things that they have done, they're worried about their money. And I don't blame them. I mean, again, look, they're into power, in a position of power. They have an audience automatically because they're billionaires. But, you know, to think that they did not benefit from the very system that they detest, and now they want to even take more advantage because what they're doing, and remember, okay, in a socialistic system, you end up with two classes, the haves and the have-nots. And the haves want everything, and they want to give the have-nots nothing. They want to give them just enough to keep them from uprising and rioting, because there's always more of the have-nots. So if you believe that all these people of wealth, and I'm going in to bring in our good friend Whoopi Goldberg and Michael Moore, all the other assholes that are out there, if you think that they have your best interest at heart, I would suggest that you think again. If you believe that any one of those really gives a rat's ass about you, I would tell you to, again, think about that spot again, because they don't. They don't give a crap about who you are. Matt Damon and all the other jackasses out there are not worried about us. They're worried about themselves. And I have no problem with people that worry about themselves, but I do have a problem with people who come out and bash the very method and system that gave them, A, the opportunity to do what they do, B, the ability to be so successful at what they do, and C, the way to get it done. And if you ask me, okay, these people are ridiculous. They are, there's obviously a lot more expletives I'd like to use, but they have no sense or care for actually the message they're trying to send. But the message they're trying to send will directly help them. And when you watch how these people put things away and how they protect and pay millions and millions of dollars a year to get their lawyers and accountants to beat the system, okay? If you're not telling me they're not looking to build an edge, then I think you're making a mistake. Now, you look at, again, I go to one of my favorite assholes, Warren Buffett. Okay? Now, again, here's a guy who makes speech after speech about taxes and we should pay more and do this and not do inverting, where he takes advantage of every single item that he complains about. His companies take every single tax break, every single item that they do, benefits Berkshire Hathaway. And, you know, if you want to continue to believe in people that are actually stabbing you in the back as they're patting you on the head, then that's up to you. But know that none of these big philanthropy people that are out there in the media telling you what they're going to do for you and how much they should do, they are looking out for their own best interest. They are looking to help themselves, to help themselves to your capital. Okay. They are the ones who have benefited dramatically through this entire 8 years of, what's his name? Okay. 8 years of hell, we'll call it. 8 years of phony hope and no change, because the motto was change. And yeah, we've changed. We've reduced the middle class. We've caused a tremendous amount of pressure on families of trying to send their children to schools, to college. We have totally wrecked country companies, industries, and everything else with no warning. And so the change we did have was the change of the destruction of the number one consumers in the world, the middle class. That has been the overall change that we have seen over the last 8 years. Not change for the better, but yet change for the worse. Change to benefit the few and not the many. And that, I think, is a sad state and a sad message that has been sent from the people in power today. I think, again, that becomes a much bigger problem as we move down the road, and something needs to be done, and we have to change the way that we do things. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, when you miss an episode, it is libertytalk.fm that will get you the download every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, we got football coming up, so that should be exciting. In the meantime, we're going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and we'll be back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, as we've talked about earlier, we've got the jobs number coming out Friday, and we're going to hear about the wonderful jobs. And of course, we're not going to talk about the lack of labor participation. We're not going to talk about how people are making less money. We're not going to talk about how bad things really are. We're not going to talk about that the banks need to have the rates rise so that they can actually help the average guy on the street. But we are going to talk about how good and what a wonderful job the current administration has done in building the wall. They've built their own wall against the upper 1% against the rest. And we're going to talk about how we can give more entitlements to people so that we can get them to vote as we come closer to our election. But here we are in a stock market that is near all-time record highs. No surprise. You give enough free money to enough people and you can pump it up. But nobody is going to talk about the destruction that we're being here by constructing a phony stock market, a stock market built on artificial money by artificial people that have no understanding or no clue how an economy really works. Now, I know we have educated economists, and who did they learn from? Other educated economists, many of them who have, again, no clue. Now, we've seen over the history of Wall Street and over the history of business and basically over the history of the world that when you have interference from outside parties that try to engineer a result, the result never ends up working. Now, we can talk about old-fashioned gamblers that used to fix sporting events that always get caught, and that never worked out well. And fixing and engineering the economy, in my opinion, is no different. What we have is a failure to communicate. Okay? Cool Hand Luke, if you don't get the reference. But what we have here is a failure of the meeting of the minds to put together an economy in which everybody has the opportunity to succeed to the level at which they'd like to succeed. What we have here is a disaster waiting to happen, because the leaders, the so-called smart people, the geniuses, continue to try to create an edge for themselves, building an economy based on dust, based on dirt, based on air. Okay, as they continue to wait for Abenomics in Japan to step in and buy more equities in their stock market, buy more ETFs, as we continue to see the problems compound. Now, we're supposed to compound money, not problems, but of course, our geniuses like to compound problems because what they're hoping is those problems will go away. Now, we know that problems do not just disappear without a solution. And unfortunately, the people that have the final power, the ability to make those decisions, have no answer. They do not have a conclusion. So what they're writing is a book that never ends. But we all know that when that book does end, it ends with an ugly ending. Why don't you ask? Well, you can't ask him, but Sir Isaac Newton was involved in a scam very similar to what we're seeing today back in the 1700s. And of course, once a very wealthy man died, a pauper. Okay, why don't you ask anybody else that's ever been involved in any type of Ponzi scheme, and unless they were the leader of the Ponzi scheme, how did it end up for them? Okay, of course, it ended up broke. Ask all of the Bernie Madoff clients. Ask all of the Lakeside Commodity clients. Ask all the Rod Robbed Them clients. Okay, Ponzi schemes eventually have to bust. And this Ponzi scheme that is being run by the Federal Reserve, by the United States government, will also burst and will end up with a very ugly result, because you cannot continue to try to create new money to satisfy old debt and continue to push the problems down the road as they reach into your pocket and my pocket and magically devalue the very currency that I worked so hard to get there. So magically, they can take away my money and yours without doing a thing, because all they're doing is taking my money and your money and reducing its value as it sits in my pocket. So if you let it sit there too long, it loses value. And now you take where you can put it. Well, you can't put it in the bank. So if you put it in your mattress, it continues to lose value each and every day and will eventually become worthless paper, which I believe is their plan anyways, as we see major economies, major banks around the world trying to get rid of the higher dollar currencies so that you have to use more of paper money. And I don't mean paper money like the dollar bill in your pocket, but credit cards and electronic payments, so that you don't realize, very much like Las Vegas, that you're actually giving up a tremendous advantage to what you have. And to me, that is just criminal. Okay, the way that things are operating, the way that the entire system is operating, the way that people fall in love with what's going on because of the short-sightedness of what they're seeing, is going to create even a bigger mess as we move forward. So as you enjoy the markets up at these all-time highs and you continue to look at your IRA and say, oh, I'm doing okay, remember that the more we allow the Federal Reserve to devalue and print money and do the things that they're doing, the less that retirement account is going to be worth. So even though the illusion that it's growing while they're taking it out the back door is more for you to watch, okay? But because we live under the illusion, and because we as Americans are based on hope and change, we continue to allow and put up with these things. But what you're going to find out is a rude awakening is coming when indeed they all of a sudden say, well, no more, and they start to create destruction. So your lesser dollars, which will be worth lesser dollars as they depreciate over time, and then you will have not only the depreciation of the actual currency, but the depreciation of your equity portfolio, you will find out that what you're seeing today is not in your best interest and is not meant to make you better, but actually meant to create a society that eliminates the middle class. Think about that as we get ready to go to break here. And let me know your thoughts of that. But again, to me, I find it concerning and upsetting at the changes that I've seen over the last 20 or 30 years. And they continue to get, in my opinion, worse, because they are taking away the free market system, which we so love here in the United States of America. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure that when you miss one of my shows, you go to libertytalk.fm and download it. Make sure that you go to bubbatrading.com, because I'm going to help you protect some of that money that they're trying to take away from you. That's at bubbatrading.com. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
I know where I come from. How about you? trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I thought we'd share a little Bill Whittle with you, and Scott Ott and Matt Green all together here for you. So let's go see about the Democratic DNC email scandal. Here we go.
Involved with secret messages being released to the public and messages being stolen off of a server that nobody really knew about and great embarrassment and so on. Only this time it's not national secrets. Those are kind of trivial. That's just extremely careless handling. This time it's really important. It's what's going on backstage at the Democratic National Committee. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Whittle here with Steve Green and Scott Ott, and this is your right angle on the DNC email scandal leak. And I'd like to subtitle this episode, ladies and gentlemen, Welcome to Our World. What do I mean by that? Well, we've been claiming as conservatives for decades now that the press is, in fact, essentially the audiovisual department for the Democratic National Party. And through this email thing, we discover that Debbie Wasserman Schultz can just say, stop it, knock it off, you've got to stop this. And the press will simply go, oh, yes, ma'am, I'm terribly sorry. We find out that the Washington Post is co-hosting fundraisers for the Democratic National Committee, and so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. It never ends. Steve, let's start with you.
Sure.
Not too long ago, Donald Trump just threw a couple people out of the press corps. Just said, I don't buy your press credentials. I don't consider you a reporter. I think Donald Trump's my favorite Donald Trump moment so far is when somebody asked him a leading question, and he said, "Where are you from?" And they said, "CNN." He went, "CNN." But we actually have documentary evidence now that this is in fact going on. But here's my question for you, Steve. No one believed it. Everybody thought it was just Republicans just kind of, you know, doing our typical hair on fire conspiracy theory things and whining and crying. But now it's Bernie. It's Bernie. It's Bernie who's the victim of all this corruption. It's Bernie who's the victim of this press manipulation. It's Bernie who's a victim of these false stories and false protests. Do you think that this is going to get through to these people, Steve? Or do you think that we're it's just going to bounce off their heads?
Well, you know, what I find most interesting is, for all the talk about the Republican establishment, you know, it was impotent in the face of a populist figure in the form of Donald Trump. The Democratic establishment, however, is real, it is powerful, and it works. They wanted Bernie out. They wanted Clinton to be the nominee. And if that had to cost Debbie Wasserman Schultz her job, well, so be it. But the Democratic establishment got whatever they wanted. And it's a well-functioning machine. As well-functioning as any political party can be. But the bigger picture on this, I think, is what's really fascinating. Because you've got Clinton News Network, I mean CNN, that was providing nice coverage of Saddam Hussein in exchange for access to Iraq. And the Democrats kind of laughed that off as no big deal. Hillary Clinton keeping a compromised server in her bathroom, avoiding the Freedom of Information Act, having Moscow read her emails in real time, or at best almost real time. And oh, that's a non-story. She was just careless. She's frequently confused and all that kind of thing. Just a little careless. They wanted to sweep that under the rug as best they could. But then when they're own private dirty laundry gets aired by WikiLeaks, courtesy of the Russians. Suddenly, Russians are the big bear again, threatening world peace, and oh my gosh, this kind of thing has to stop. They don't care about getting the truth out of Iraq. They don't care about national security. They don't care about the Secretary of State being held accountable to the laws of the land. But when it comes to their own dirty laundry, boy, you better believe they care, and they care deeply.
That's kind of an interesting take, is pretty much my take too. So, Scotty, let me ask you about the second part of this question that I don't hear anybody talking about. So we discover that WikiLeaks, perhaps with the assistance of the Russians, was able to crack into the top secret and highly secured Democratic National Committee server, and they were able to steal large numbers of emails and put them on the internet. The Russians had a pretty much easy time getting this information. So why is it, I wonder, that everybody in the Democratic Party is having an absolute cow over the fact that some of their details of, as Steve said, their dirty laundry regarding their way they treated Bernie is cause for running around with their hair on fire? But when Hillary Clinton puts top secret and above top secret information on a far less secure server, if the Russians can read the DNC server, you got a pretty good chance that the Russians can read the ClintonFoundation.org server, which didn't even have the routine security updates. It's kind of odd, isn't it, that these Democrats think it's worse that an email saying, you know what, we really do collude with the press is more damaging to them than irrefutable proof that Hillary Clinton revealed top secret and above top secret national security emails over the course of 4 years.
And from what I understand, and, you know, this is early stage of this game, so there more details will come in. I'm sure there'll be, deepening probe by what? The FBI is certainly going to go after this hard to find out exactly what happened and why it was so vulnerable. But my understanding is that Edward Snowden is, I've seen him tweeting out basically saying, hey, you know, the NSA should reveal, you know, who got into this and how they got into it and stuff like that. But some cybersecurity experts are apparently saying that there were actually two different Russian hackers in the DNC's underwear. So, I mean, this is like you're burglarizing somebody's house and you run into another burglar that you don't even know because it was so easy to get in. It was such a ripe target. The two of you got in there to rob the place. And so you got that going on. Certainly, Snowden is also suggesting that he's got stuff already that could put Hillary Clinton in jail, and who knows when that'll come out. There have been suggestions, of course, on the left. Robbie Mook from told CNN. Robbie Mook is Clinton's campaign manager. Told CNN that he's trying to imply that there's a connection between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump because it benefits Trump that these Russian hackers got in there and spilled this stuff all over the place. And so instead of focusing on the actual goings-on of the DNC and what these emails reveal, let's talk about the possibility that Donald Trump is the Richard Nixon, you know, covering up the Watergate break-in. So all of that going on. But we need to keep in mind one thing. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairman, former chairman now of the DNC, did not lose her job because Bernie Sanders didn't get the nomination, or even because she and her colleagues were working to ensure that Bernie Sanders get the nomination, or even because some major donors were being talked about behind the scenes in the most crass and disgusting terms and denigrating terms about talking about putting a major donor in the, I can't even say the word, in the worst corner. And it was like a reference to excrement in the worst corner that they could find. None of that lost Debbie Wasserman Schultz her job. What got her fired, what got her pushed out of the DNC, was the fact that she let the world see the way the Democratic National Committee actually operates. She let the truth get out. That's her crime, not any of the things that we see as crimes.
That's right. And once it was revealed to the world the extent of this corruption, manipulation, fraud, and all the rest of it, she was immediately hired by Hillary Clinton to run her campaign. Does anybody, I certainly can't be the only person who sees the optics of this. And ladies and gentlemen, as it turns out, I'm not. I've seen lately in the last several days YouTube videos from Bernie supporters, and not just Bernie supporters, just rank and file Democrats, who are absolutely outraged at this. Absolutely outraged. They're starting a Never Hillary movement. She's being booed at her own convention. You got to hand it to WikiLeaks. They released that information at exactly the right time. Exactly the right time. If they say they've got enough to get Hillary indicted, maybe they'll release that 3 weeks before the election. I don't know what good it's going to do, because the FBI has enough information to get her indicted, and they didn't recommend charges either. But I think the main takeaway here is this. I do want to say to the progressives out there, to the Bernie supporters out there, because I know we have millions of them watching the show, welcome to our world, right? You're outraged. You're outraged because mechanical strings were pulled behind the scenes, and it cost you votes, and it cost you your voice, and it cost you your say in this democracy, destroyed your faith in this government. You found out that press was covering for Hillary Clinton and setting up stories against your candidate, Bernie Sanders, routinely. You found out that the Clinton machine was essentially just rigging the whole thing for votes. The whole idea of superdelegates is to make sure that the party gets the person they want and not the one that the people elect. If all of this is true, and it is true, and if you're angry at the DNC for this, then just try for a moment to understand what it's like to have been a conservative for the last 30 years, to be saying that this stuff goes on daily, and for us to finally have the documentary evidence that everything that we said is in fact true, and it goes much, much, much deeper than that. I don't know. I think that the tide of on both sides, Republicans and Democrats, of people who are so fed up with the system and who see the system as corrupt and irreparably corrupt, that all to me looks good for Donald Trump and looks bad for the most inside insider in the history of this country, and without question, the most corrupt person ever running for president of the United States, and that'd be Hillary Rotten Clinton, to use Donald Trump's effective phase. Donald's up a little bit now, and he's done nothing but fight Republicans so far. When he starts fighting Democrats, he's going to bring all this stuff up, and if the FBI doesn't bring charges against her, he will. He will do it in the debates. It's going to be a bloodbath, is what I'm starting to think. Couldn't happen to a nicer person. I just wish it was being done by somebody I liked a little better, but you know, it's the strangest year in election history. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it or see its like again. So stay tuned for more, and as we try to help you figure out all this stuff. All of this is brought to us.
And of course, we kind of agree, and you know, again, I don't care whether you like Hillary Clinton or not. Again, I'm not a big fan of anybody in politics. I think that politics is a dirty word, and we don't have the true best interests of the people involved. But I think those are certainly problems that need to be addressed, and I think that that will eventually cause parts of the downfall. I'd like to know your thoughts. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and when you miss an episode, you know where to go. It is libertytalk.fm. We'll get you all the downloads of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge. And, of course, I want to make sure that you check out BubbaTrading.com, because we're getting ready to go back into work and get things betting and hedge that portfolio. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And again, I have a little more Bill Whittle to share with you. So let's go back to Mr. Bill Whittle and hear what he's got to say.
I'd like to take just a few moments to talk about the power of iconography. Now, if you happen to be a high-level Republican strategist, you're probably saying the power of what now? And if you're a high-level Democratic strategist, you might be thinking, oh, crap, he's on to us. You see this lovely steak dinner here? It's appetizing, isn't it? But of course, if you put this in a blender and hit the puree button, it comes out looking like this. Exact same content, different packaging. I believe the conservative message is, on balance, the most nutritious philosophical meal ever devised. But the packaging of that message has been an unmitigated disaster. Here's the stage from last year's Republican National Convention. Wow.
probably took a good half hour to design that and maybe double that time to build. It's a square plank poking you right in the eye. But now look at last year's DNC stage. It looks like the entrance to Tomorrowland at Disney World. Look at how it's lit. Look at those curving screens leading the eye right up to heaven. It's inviting, it's warm, it's new and exciting. And if you don't think this matters, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong. Let's take the tale of two rodents to illustrate this point, two classically simple pieces of iconography. This line drawing conjures up a completely different set of emotions and expectations than this one does, doesn't it? Look at these two masterpieces of iconography. Look at how simple they are. Can you begin to see how something this simple can conjure up so many images and feelings from your own childhood? The power of an icon is in its ability to evoke a subconscious emotional response. Advertising has a term for this phenomenon. It's called branding. Now, during the campaign season, it's common to try and get an icon to stand for a candidate. George W. Bush used the W in his two presidential runs, the W offsetting him from his father's same-name presidency. It's not bad, but the application of it was strictly limited to lawn signs and bumper stickers. That's amateur hour by today's standards. But now we come to the gold standard. From a pure design standpoint, I've always found this to be a little infantile, but the fact is it's a classic. Plowed fields of grain under the sunrise of a new tomorrow, all in the shape of the O. O for Obama, of course, but also O for the one, the circle, complete and self-contained. Sunrise and prosperity within the circle of life, and outside it, nothing but barren emptiness. In terms of what it evokes, it's a masterpiece. And the way the Obama team used it and continues to use it is absolutely brilliant. Take a look at this image. It's from the official Obama website. Notice how all of the traditional American iconography, the eagle, the stars, the flag, the motto, E Pluribus Unum, are all slowly fading out into a diffuse heavenly glow, receding into the mists of memory, leaving only the glowing sun, the O, pulling your eye into the future. And there are some very subtle and disturbing things here as well. The American eagle isn't perched to remain here forever, but rather seems on the verge of flying away. The flag is falling. The stars are dissipating into the void. Our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one, is virtually unreadable. It's like letters stamped in soft sand. The only thing that's sharp and well-defined in this image is the circle, the O. That's what's permanent and immovable. Everything else is fading away. You think this is an accident? Think again. Now, when George Bush was elected, the W logo was put away for 4 years until it was dragged out again for his second campaign. But this logo is still with us. At mybarackobama.com, we see images of a diverse group of citizens being called to organize for America. Men and women of various ages and ethnicities, what do they have in common? Oh, yeah, I see. They're all branded. You know, mybarackobama.com is run by the Democratic National Committee. The new Democratic Party logo looks like this, which is great, by the way, dynamic and energetic. It's a far, far cry from this stodgy, uninspired, static, childlike thing. But this, pardon the expression, kickin' Democratic Party logo appears nowhere on mybarackobama.com. However, the Obama logo is everywhere. Everywhere. It's everywhere. They even tell you flat out it's everywhere. You know, to the best of my knowledge, this is, again, pardon the expression, unprecedented. I believe it is unique in the American experience to brand an individual leader. The President of the United States has a logo. Here it is. It's a pretty exclusive club. Barack Obama is one of only 43 people in the history of the world authorized to use this logo. Grover Cleveland technically being both the 22nd and the 24th president. The fact that we see the Obama logo attached to healthcare proposals means that we are seeing an individual brand, that of Barack Obama, being used alongside and in many cases in place of the logo of the President of the United States. That's interesting, and I don't like it. The man won the election and the right to use the seal of the President of the United States. The fact that we continue to see the Obama logo used by the Democratic National Committee tells me that this is a perpetual campaign, and what they are branding is in fact an ideology centered around a cult of personality. Now, we've seen in the past the dangers of branding an ideology with an icon. The two great totalitarian ideologies of the early 20th century both used powerful icons to represent their ideas. I'm not going to show those here because it would be obscene. It would be absolutely obscene to compare the horror they generated, 150 million dead, no less, to what's going on here today. That was mass murder. This is merely advertising. We've just never seen that kind of thing before here in America. The Obama logo has been extremely powerful, but there is a weakness embedded in the power of identity. If this logo is shorthand for all of the positives that President Obama wants to project, then it can also be used as a shorthand for his negatives as well. Lately, there's been an avalanche of anti-Obama merchandise, most of it centering around the ubiquitous O. Here in Los Angeles, we've for years seen an iconic image by an artist named Shepard Fairey. He's a charming guy, one of whose collection is entitled E Pluribus Venom. We've seen his famous Obey poster plastered all over L.A. for many years. The face is based on the wrestler Andre the Giant, and it's a powerful image. Shepard's latest work is, of course, this, which is so striking that it immediately became the unofficial Barack Obama poster and rapidly produced any number of parodies. But the worm is turning. Now, here's Shepard Fairey's work turned in on itself. It's not a bad job. And also, of course, this has been getting a lot of attention lately. It first appeared pasted on a remote pillar in essentially the middle of nowhere. Of course, LA Weekly called it an abomination, a call to a lynching, adding, quote, "All that's missing is the noose," unquote. However, on the other hand, this image, published in Vanity Fair, not on a remote overpass by some unknown street artist, but rather by the editor of a national major magazine, was, on the other hand, hailed as brilliant satire and a remarkable statement on the sad state of American affairs. This is an excellent Photoshop job, but his propaganda could use a little work. The Joker's signature line was, "Why so serious?" Now, if you had done this, you might have had a masterpiece. This image works because of the fake smile hiding sinister intent. Many people are starting to get that impression of this president. This image has real power. But people obsessed with their own image expect some kind of opposition. However, there's one thing the true narcissist cannot tolerate. This is the killer app.
And that would be laughing out loud at the current state of affairs, and obviously it is no laughing matter. We've got serious issues and serious problems that continue to be ignored by not only our president, but the new Democratic candidate. And nobody seems to want to step up and say that we have a problem. And as in any part of life, there's always problems. And the key is how do you go about solving those problems? So as we looked at the images, and of course you're listening so you couldn't look at them, but as we looked at the images of the Joker from Batman fame and the socialistic ways of the direction of the Democratic Party, I think that we now have to start to take matters and work these out to bring back the freedom of America and the freedom to choose. I mean, the freedom to have the benefits that you get for being an American. There is no greater place in the world than the United States of America. And sadly, with the current leadership, I feel that slipping away. And I think it's time that we need to move forward and take care of it. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, as you know, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm will get you the download of every show. We have just passed 250,000 downloads a month, and I'm looking to get you as part of that, so make sure you go check it out. You can also get The Sporting Edge there as well. And that will do it for today's Bubba Show. This is Todd Bubba Horowitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow at the same time, the same station, same bat channel, same bat time. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.